ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नरं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नास्ति प्रवेशो भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमं श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Verse 16. Chapter entitled Rishabhdev's Appearance in the Womb of Meerudevi, the Wife of King Nabi. We'll do 16 and 17. 16 is, does not have a purport. Sri Sukha Vacha. Iti. इति निगदेन अभिस्तूयमानः भगवान् अनिमिष ऋषभ वर्षधारा अभिवादितः अभिवन्दितः चरणः सतयम् इदम् असः।
श्रीसुकवाचा
इति विलुवर्ण इति निगदेन
इति निगदेन
अभिस्तु अभिस्तुयमानः भगवान्
भगवान्
अनिमिषा ऋषभो वर्षाधारवे अभिवादितः
यथा
चरणं
करणं
सत्यं
इदं अह
वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मी श्री सुख वाचा
श्री सुख वाचा
श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी से इति थस Nigadena, by prayers in force, Abhistuyamana, being worshipped. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Animisha Rishabha, the chief of all the demigods. Varshadharaha, by King Nabi, the emperor of Bharat Varsha. Abhivaditaha, worship. Abhivanditaha, were bowed down to. Charanaha, whose feet. Satyam, kindly. Idam, this. Aha, said. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, the priests who were even worshipped by King Nabi, the emperor of Bharat Varsha, offered prayers in prose, generally they were in poetry, and bowed down at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord of Lords, the ruler of the demigods, was very pleased with them, and he began to speak as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.3.17. Shri Bhagavan Vaacha Abho Bhataman Rishayo Bhavadbhi Avi Tatha वरमसुलभ्यम् अभियाचितो यत् अमुष्यत्माजो मायासदृशो भूयदिति महामम् एवाभिरूपः कैवल्यत् अथापि ब्रह्मावादो नामृषः भवितुम् अर्हति ममैव हि मुखं यत् विजयते कुलम्। The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, O great sages, I am certainly very pleased with your prayers. You are all truthful. You have prayed for the benediction of a son like me for King Navi. But this is very difficult to obtain, since I am the Supreme Person without a second, and since no one is equal to me, another personality like me is not possible to find. In any case, because you are all qualified Brahmanas, your vibrations should not prove untrue. I consider the Brahmanas who are well qualified with Brahmanical qualities to be as good as my own mouth. The word avitatha girghi means they whose spoken vibrations cannot be nullified. The Brahmanas, the visual Christ form, are given a chance by the Shastric regulations to become almost as powerful as the Supreme Lord. Whatever a Brahmana speaks cannot be nullified or changed in any circumstances. According to the Vedic injunctions, a Brahmana is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in all rituals, a Brahmana is offered food, Brahmana bhojan. Because when a Brahmana eats, it is considered that the Supreme Lord Himself eats. Similarly, what a Brahmana speaks cannot be changed, it must act. The learned sages who were priests at Maharaj Navi's sacrifice were not only Brahmanas but were so qualified that they were like devtas, devas, demigods, or God Himself. If this were not the case, how could they invite Lord Vishnu to come to the sacrificial arena? God is one, and God does not belong to this or that religion. In Kali Yuga, different religious sects considered their God to be different from the God of others, but that is not possible. God is one, and He is appreciated according to different angles of vision. In this verse, the word Kaivalya means that God has no competitor. There is only one God. In the Sweta Swatra Upanishad 6.8, it is said, Nata Samas Cha Bhyadikas Cha Drishyate. No one is found to be equal to Him or greater than Him. This is the definition of God. Om Agnanati Vyandashe Dhyananjana Salatay Chakshurandhitam Yenam Tashmaya Shri Varayanam Shri Chaitanya Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Bhutatran Vadati Swapadantikam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sarvaravanatam Vitantam Sanjeevam Sarvaitam Sarvaitam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Rava Krishna Padam Sarvalita Shri Shatam Vitamsha E Krishna Krama Sindhu Dhena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rava Kanta Namaskata Tatta Kanchana Vavandhi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishikam Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchaka Patra Vesha Kita Sindhu Jayacha Patitanam Pavanepya Vaishnavibhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Tadadara Shivasandhi Gopalina
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, we're reading the translation. We'll read it again from 5th canto, 3rd chapter, 17th verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, O great sages, I am certainly very pleased with your prayers. You are all truthful. You have prayed for the benediction of a son like me for King Navi. But this is very difficult to obtain, since I am the Supreme Person without a second, and since no one is equal to me, another personality like me is not possible to find. In any case, because you are all qualified Brahmanas, your vibrations should not prove untrue. I consider the Brahmanas who are well qualified with Brahmanical qualities to be as good as my own mouth. So here we are hearing in Canto 5 the dynasty of Maharaj Priyavrata. In the 4th canto we heard the dynasty of Maharaj Uttanamba. And this first part, when we are hearing dynasty of Maharaj Priyavrata, we are hearing how Maharaj Priyavrata was so powerful that he could divide, he could produce another sun, he could divide the continent in seven islands and seven oceans. And then in his lineage there is Maharaj Agnidharam, we heard about, who married Ruchiri and had nine sons headed by Nabi. And now we are hearing about the pastimes of Maharaj Nabi, who was a pious king, and he performed a sacrifice with the help of the qualified Brahmanas to have a son who is as good as the Lord. And we see here how the Brahmanas performed the sacrifice, and they were qualified Brahmanas. So when they performed the sacrifice, the Lord himself appeared in front of them. And Lord is here saying that Brahmanas are his mouth. So we understand from the scriptures that Brahmanas are like the face of the Lord, Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the waist, and the Sudras are the legs. It is also mentioned that all of them are the different parts of the body of the Lord, which is absolute. Lord is absolute, so there is no difference between the mouth and the arms and waist and legs, but still there is a difference because of the intelligence and the guna and karma. So they have been divided in that way. So it is mentioned the Lord enjoys through the Brahmanas, because when you see the face of a person, most of the senses are present in the face. Of course, the Lord does not have to be bound to any of the senses to enjoy. Lord can enjoy through any of his senses. But as it is mentioned, the Brahmanas are the most qualified, because they are the two parts of the body are most important, which is the brain and the mouth. And through the brain, one can make decisions, one can discriminate, and one can regulate the activities towards devotional service of the Lord. And through the mouth, one can nourish the whole body and glorify the Lord. So it is mentioned Brahmanas were engaged in regulating their activities towards devotional service and guide everyone towards the devotional service of the Lord. And then they use their mouth to preach the glories of the Lord. So this was Brahma Tejas. So this is the quality of the Brahmanas. So we see here in this pastime, for success in spiritual life, there are three things required. We will only speak about spiritual life, because anything we do in the material life, in whether it's successful or unsuccessful, at the end it is unsuccessful, because two days ago I was with my daughter at the beach, and she wanted to make a castle on the beach, so we went there, and she was making this castle, and first of all, when we went there, she chose the right spot to make a castle. So she saw all the sand. Where the sand was too soft, it was not right to make a castle. And then she went ahead where there was water, and because there was water, you can't make a castle, because the water usually breaks the castle. So she chose the middle ground, which was not too close to the water and not too on the dry side of the sand. So she chose the right spot, and then she started making a castle. And then there were many, many dogs moving around, because people walk with their dogs in the morning. So there were many dogs, and she was careful that the dogs did not break the castle, because there were many dogs who came and trying to sneak around what's going on. So she used to make sure that they don't hit or step on the castle. So she made castles with different toys she has, the dice she had. And then eventually, after like the castle was finished, she started digging a trench around the castle. And I asked her, why was she digging this trench around the castle? And she told me, if the water comes too close, it will go into the trench and not break the castle immediately. So I thought it was a good idea. And then she made a fence around the inner part of the castle and said, even if the water comes in, the fence will stop. So she was very intellectually thoughtful about how to protect the castle, how to make the castle, and it was well planned. And this is what we do in the material life. We create all this castle-like possessions, the assets, and then we safeguard them. It is foolproof, like it's safeguarded by all the insurances and everything. But what happens at the end? yesterday when it was raining heavy, she told me the castle would have broken. Because that's one thing she did not thought about, that the water can come from top as well. So, anyways, the castle was about to be broken because the water sometime, the tide would be high and it would break the castle. But still, she was thoughtful about all the aspects, but again, then she did not thought about rain because Friday was a nice sunny day. So similarly, we in our material life, we create all this assets and we invest so much of our time into different things in building this castle of our life, which we think is going to give us pleasure, and we build trenches and fans and everything. But ultimately what happens is the time of death, everything is been taken away. It's like the rain from unexpected source, the water from unexpected source, and it just breaks everything. So this is so there is no success in material life. Eventually it is going to be zero. So we'll speak about spiritual life. What are the three things which are most required in spiritual life, to be successful in spiritual life? The first thing which is required is performing sacrifice as per the Vedic injunction. So one has to perform sacrifice as per the Vedic injunction. One has to follow the Shastra. The second one is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the third one is the Brahmanas or the devotees of the Lord have to be pleased. So these are three things. If these three things are looked after, then there is definitely going to be success in any of the spiritual endeavors. So again, the first one is performing austerities or sacrifice as per the Vedic invention, worship. Worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the third one is pleasing the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas of the Lord. So if these three things are looked after, then there is success in the spiritual life. And we hear different pastimes or different personalities from Srimad Bhagavatam who followed them and became successful, and who did not follow them and became successful. And of all these three, the most important is satisfying the Brahmanas or the devotees of the Lord. So here we see Maharaj Nabi, who was a very pious king. What did he do? He performed sacrifice as per the Vedic injunction. He worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and with the help of the qualified Brahmanas, he pleased the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were pleased with his sacrifice and the donations or the the dakshina he offered to the Brahmanas. So because of which, and as the Lord is mentioning here, that you all are qualified Brahmanas, and that is why I have appeared in front of you. And Lord also mentions that whatever the Brahmana speaks cannot be changed, it must act. So by doing these things, Maharaj Nabi could invoke the appearance of the Lord, and Lord was so pleased that he is ready now, he is giving the benediction of whatever the Lord, whatever Maharaj Nabi wanted. And we see another example just before we heard about Maharaj Anga. And Maharaj Anga did not perform the sacrifice as per Vedic invention. In fact, he stopped the worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he offended the Vaishnavas. So what was the result because of that? Because of that, he was killed. All the sages, they chanted the mantras and they killed. So this is the power of the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas. When they can give any benediction to a person, but at the same time they can destroy a person. And again we see in the case of Maharaj Prithu also, he performed the Vedic injunction and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing all this cross sacrifices. And he, at the end, also forgave Lord Indra, even though he stole the sacrifice, the horse from the sacrifice, but still he forgave him. So he pleased Indra as well. So by this, Maharaj Prithu was successful. So we hear all this pastime, and yeah, there is another pastime where Daksha performed the sacrifice. So what were the three things? He performed the sacrifice, which was as per the Vedic injunction. He invited, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of God. Lord Vishnu and Brahma were present there, but he offended Lord Shiva. He did not please the Vaishnava. So because of that, his sacrifice was destroyed. He in fact had to die actually. So we see like in all Srimad Bhagavatam, these points are repeated again and again, that one has to follow the injunction of the Shastras, one has to worship the Supreme Lord, and one has to please the Vaishnavas. Without these three things, one cannot be successful. In fact, there is a pastime where there is a war going between the demons, the Asuras and the Suras or demigods, in which Bali Maharaj, who is the leader of demons, and he is victorious, he is so powerful that he is killing everyone. And in fact, he became so powerful that all the demigods had to flee away. They had to run away from Swarga, they had to leave off their position and run away. So this was because Bali Maharaj and Brahaspati, the spiritual master of the demigod, says at that time that, "O Indra, I know the cause of your enemies becoming so powerful. It is because the Brahmana descendant of Bhrigu Muni, who was Sukracharya. Sukracharya, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, his disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power." So when the Vaishnavas are pleased, when the Brahmanas are pleased, they can impart power to the person. So Bali Maharaj became just power. On the other hand, Indra had displeased Brihaspati because he offended. The garland was given to Indra and he gave it to the elephant. So he displeased Brihaspati, and that is why he lost all his powers, whereas Bali Maharaj regained power because he pleased the Brahmana. And it is mentioned that neither you nor your man can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the spiritual power of Brahma Tejas. No one can stand before Yamraj. No one can now stand before Bali Maharaj. So he is compared to Yamraj because he regained power because of pleasing the Brahmana. So there are different instances given in Bhagavatam which explain how if a Brahmana is pleased, then automatically the Lord is pleased, because Lord enters through the Brahmana. We'll speak about one more pastime where it is mentioned how Maharaj Yayati did not obey the Vedic injunction, and he did not even please the, he was not worshipping the Lord, and he did not even please the Brahmana. So in that pastime it is mentioned that once there were two friends, Devyani and Sarmishta. Devyani was the daughter of Sukracharya and Sarmishta was the daughter of the king, Vrishabha. So once while they were sporting in water, they saw that Lord Shiva was passing by. So because they were naked, they just ran to cover themselves, and even by mistake Sarmishta wore the garments of Devyani. And when Devyani couldn't find her garments, she became upset, and when she saw that Sarmishta had taken away her garment, she started rebuking, she started speaking bad words to Sarmishta, saying that you are the daughter of the king who is like a servant to us. And she started insulting that because of the Brahmanas you are ruling, because of the power of the Brahmanas you are ruling. And same, Sarmishta also got angry and she started rebuking Devyani, saying that you are like beggars. At the doorstep of the king, you Brahmanas come as beggars to the king for donations. So like this, there was argument going on, and in this argument, Sarmishta pushed Devyani into the well, and she fell into the well. So at that moment, and she left. So at that moment, Maharaj Yayati was in the forest going on for hunting. He came around the well and he saw that Devyani was inside. So he helped Devyani come out of the well. And Devyani said, "Because you have held my hand, now you are my husband." So it is mentioned in that pastime that this was pratilom marriage. This was against, because as per Shastras, a Kshatriya king cannot marry a Brahmana's daughter. because Brahmanas are higher than the Kshatriyas. So this was Pratilam marriage, and this is against the Vedic injunction. But eventually, Maharaj Yayati married Devyani, and when Devyani told the whole incident, what has happened to Sukracharya, Sukracharya became very angry, and he went to Maharaj Vishwakarma. And when Maharaj Vishwakarma saw that Sukracharya is coming in anger, he fell at the feet of Sukracharya and asked Sukracharya, what did he want, how can he be satisfied? At that point, Devyani said that if Sarmishtha becomes my maid servant, then I'll be satisfied and I'll forgive Maharaj Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma. So at that point, so Maharaj Vishwakarma agreed to this proposal, and Sarmishtha became the maid servant of Devyani. And when Devyani was married to Maharaj Yayati, and they went to the kingdom of Maharaj Yayati, Sarmishtha and all the other girls also went as maid servants to Devyani's place, palace. And then eventually, when Devyani had two sons, Sarmishtha also had a desire to have a son. So she approached Maharaj Yayati for union, and when they associated, they also had they had three sons actually. And when Sarmishtha found out about this, he again became angry and went to Sukracharya. So at that point, Sukracharya became angry again at Maharaj Yayati and cursed him to become old. So we see here how in the case of Maharaj Yayati, he did not, first of all, marry Esther, he did not follow the Vedic injunction. Then he offended the Vaishnava, not a Vaishnava but Brahmana, and he did not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had to go through so much of suffering. It is also mentioned that he begged forgiveness to Sukracharya for committing this apradha. And Sukracharya said, oh, you can exchange your youth with someone if you want. He became renamed because he was the son-in-law. So he said, okay, I'll give you some escape route. So you can exchange your youth with someone. At that point, Maharaj, and it is interesting where Maharaj Yayati had five sons and went to each of the sons, right from the elder one, and asked that, will you exchange youth with me? And the son said, no, I'm still young, I have still to live. If I become old, then how will I enjoy this material world? So all the sons give different excuses, until he went to the youngermost son, the youngest one. His name was Maharaj Puru. So Puru said, yes, I will exchange my youth with you. Because he mentioned a very nice point. He said that Puru replied, oh, your majesty, who in the world can repay his debt to his father? By the mercy of one's father, one gets a human form of life, which can enable one to become the associate of Supreme Lord. So we see here, Puru was the devotee of the Lord. And he said, yes, if it pleases you, my father, then I'll exchange. And he said something very interesting as well. He said, a son who acts by anticipating with his father what his father wants him to do is the first class. Just by anticipating what the father wants, if one does that, he is first class. One who acts upon receiving the father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's order irreverently is third class. But the son who refuses to follow his father's order is like the father's stool. So, very important point that Maharaj Guru is mentioning here, and which we have to imbibe, especially in the spiritual life. So, one who understands the order, who understands what the Lord wants, or what his spiritual master wants, is the first class disciple or devotee. One who hears and follows the order without question is the second class. And one who follows the order irreverently is third class, but at least it's better, but otherwise he is a stool. So we understand like how in Bhagavatam there is a pastime in the 11th canto where Uddhava, it's mentioned that Uddhava understood the desired heart of the Lord. So when there was a discussion whether Lord should go and kill Jarasandha, or they should go to the sacrifice arranged by Rajasuya Yajna, sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Yudhishthira. At that point it is mentioned, Krishna asked Uddhava what should be done, because Uddhava was a minister in the court of Ugrasen. So he asked Uddhava what should be done, and Uddhava, knowing the heart of Krishna, he suggested we should go to the Rajasuya sacrifice. And Krishna also had a desire to do that. So, but he asked Uddhava. So it is mentioned that a disciple or a devotee knows the heart of the Lord or the spiritual master. So it is mentioned here. Then he exchanged youth with Puru. Maharaj Yayati exchanged youth with Puru, and then he enjoyed for a long time. But at one point, after a long duration of time, King Yayati performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gift to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, who is the reservoir of all demigods and object of all Vedic knowledge. So at that point, when he offered sacrifices and pleased the Brahmana and worshipped the Lord, at this point he regained his senses and he understood that he has wasted his life. And then at this point he tells an allegorical story to his wife about the goat, and he narrates his own story. And at the end of the story, both Maharaj Yayati and Devyani, they renounce the kingdom, and then they perform austerities. And Yayati again gives back the youth to Maharaj Puru and makes him the king, because he was the most qualified person. So here we see how the whole pastime of Maharaj Yayati in the beginning, when he was not following the injunctions of the Vedas, he was not worshipping the Lord, and he was not, he had offended the Brahmana, he fell down from his position and he had to go through so much of suffering. But in the end, when he performed all those things, he regained the consciousness and he was able to perfect his life. And in fact, he had a good son because of whom he could become liberated. So the biggest benediction that Brahmana or Vaishnava can give to a person is Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotion. So one should only approach the Brahmana or a devotee or a Vaishnava, in fact, or a spiritual master, if one is interested in his spiritual life. Otherwise, one should not waste the time of a spiritual person. So, these are some of the points which I came up in this section. So there is another pastime which shows how the Brahmanas are powerful, and when they speak something, it has effect. There is a pastime of Ruchikamuni, which comes in the 9th canto. It is mentioned that Ruchikamuni had a desire to marry, and when he had that desire, he went to Maharaj Gadi, because he knew that Maharaj Gadi had a daughter, Satyavati, and she would be the right person to marry, because she was a pious woman. So Maharaj, Ruchikamuni went to Maharaj Gadi, and Maharaj Gadi saw that Ruchikamuni was, like, because of his austerity, he was not good looking, or he did not even have any possessions. So Maharaj Gadi was reluctant to give his daughter to Ruchikamuni. At that point, Maharaj Gadi put a condition that if you can bring 1,000 horses which are white like moonshine. So they are white like moonshine, completely white, but they only have 1 ear black. And it doesn't matter whether it's right or left, but 1 ear has to be black. So Ruchikamuni could understand that Maharaj Gadi was trying to avoid him. But since he was a great Brahmana with all the mystic powers, he went to Varunadev, Lord Varuna, and he asked for this 1,000 horses, like white like moonshine and with 1 ear black. And Varunadev immediately granted his desire, and he took those horses and gave it to Maharaj Gadi. So Maharaj Gadi could then understand that this is not an ordinary sage or a sannyasi. He is very exalted. So he married his daughter Satyavati to Maharaj Ruchikamuni. And at this point, when Richard Muni and Satyavati were staying in the forest, since Maharaj Dadi did not have a son, so Maharaj Dadi's wife went to Richard Muni asking for to do a sacrifice, to perform a sacrifice so that she can have a son. And same Satyavati also said, I also want a son. So they both were sitting in a sacrifice and Richard Muni was performing this sacrifice. And from that sacrifice, there were two oblations which came. And Richard Muni gave a prasad of that sacrifice to both Satyavati and his mother-in-law. And said, you take this prasad and then you will have a son. But then the mother-in-law thought, since Richard Muni has given one oblation to his wife, it would be much better, the son would be much better than my oblation. So she exchanged the prasad with his wife. And when she did that, they both ate the prasad, and Richard Muni came to know next day how they had exchanged the oblations. He became very upset. He said, what you have done is not correct. You did not follow the injunctions of the Brahmana as I had told. You did not follow that as I had mentioned. And now, because of that, the son will be born of Maharaj Dadi's wife will be of Brahminical nature, will be born with all the Brahminical qualities. Whereas your son will have the Kshatriya nature and he will have a fierce nature. He will be very angry. Anger would be his possession. So at that point, Satyavati begged forgiveness and told she did not want to have a son like that. Can something be done? So Richard Muni said, okay, what I can do is, it won't be your son, but it will be your grandson. So this instance shows how powerful Richard Muni was, that he could, just by the performance of sacrifice, he could give the son and could change the destiny of the son when he would be born. So eventually, Vishwamitra was born of Maharaj Dadi and from Satyavati, Janardhani was born, whose son was Parshuram. So this is the pastime which shows the power of Brahmatejas, of the Brahmanas, that when they perform something, when they say something, as Lord is saying here, when they perform austerities, it comes true, it cannot be undone. So I'll stop here if there are any comments or questions.
This Devayani is granddaughter of Devayani's mother.
Devayani
is daughter of Priyavartana. Priyavarta or
Who? Devayani?
Yeah. So Sukracharya married daughter of
I think Sukracharya married. So Devayani is the granddaughter of Maharaj Priyavarta.
So therefore, she comes in the same
that's right.
as his family.
Same lineage, yes.
And here, clearly, so Lord is saying that whatever the Brahmanas speak is actually as good as this, Lord speaking.
That's right. This was the power, because they were so pious. And it is mentioned the Brahmanas never ate anything which was not offered to the Lord. They never spoke anything which was against the Vedic injunction. So they had this Brahma Tejas, it is mentioned that the Brahma, because of that Brahma Tejas, it was so powerful that the speech would have effect. Whatever the spoke came through. And even today we see many of the devotees who are like very fixed in their sadhana, those who are those who are always Krishna conscious in nature, when they speak something, it comes through, because they develop this, their, it is mentioned that Saraswati sits on the tongue. And when they make some statement or when they speak about something, it comes through. They have the power of Brahma Tejas. And Lord Himself is saying, and we know Srila Prabhupada mentioned so many things that because as per if you hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instructed all his disciples to chant minimum 64 rounds. But Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you chant 16 rounds, and that is sufficient. Many times I was reading this, and it is mentioned Prabhupada said, just chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles and perform your sadhana. Just be, that much is enough for you to go back and back to God. So which is, Srila Prabhupada is giving us this guarantee that if one chants of 16 rounds and follows the regular principle and distributes his books, and this is sufficient to go back and back to God. So this is the power of a Brahmana, that Lord accepts what the devotee says.
So seems like the power of Brahmanas was almost even up to the beginning of Kali Yuga, they had that kind of power, like Sringi was able to curse Maharaja.
Yes. So yeah, so it is mentioned that it is from the Sringi when the Brahmanas fell down, when they couldn't discriminate who should be cursed and who should be given benediction. And this is one thing Samit Rishi criticizes Sringi for. Because in your immaturity, you have criticized the king who is supposed to be worshipped like God. You have done a big apra. Because Samit Rishi did never take that as an offense. He could understand that Parikshit Maharaj has done this, but it was just the leader of the Lord, or it is just how the time factor works. But he never got offended on Parikshit Maharaj. But Sringi, in his immaturity, he cursed Parikshit Maharaj. Of course, there are many other reasons as well, because Bhagavatam had to be spoken and the Yuga had to change, Kali Yuga had to enter. So, for that, Parikshit Maharaj had to leave. So, but the point is, yes, from Sringi onwards we see the Brahmanas fell, and there is this is a curse by Nandi as well in that pastime, Daksha Yajna. When you hear Daksha curse Lord Shiva, at that point Nandi cursed Daksha and all the Brahmanas, saying that you will, in future, you will fall down and you will back at the it's mentioned that you will become greedy for Dakshina and you will fall down in the future. So this is the curse of Nandi as well, it is mentioned that the Brahmanas fell down eventually.
So are there any such perfect examples in Kali Yuga of Brahmana being so powerful?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is one of the most powerful Vaishnava Brahmana, you can say.
I think now materially Sudra shall become powerful.
We don't see generally, because first of all there is no purity and they don't perform any austerity or sadhana these days. But yeah, devotees definitely are powerful, and when they bless someone, their speech comes true. At least I have seen Vaishnavas who sometimes bless, say something, it comes true. And yeah. Thank you. Grand Prasad Bhagavatam.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada.
Oh, okay, Jai.